Good evening. Good to see everyone out. If you want to turn over to Psalms 54, that's where we will be. As we get started tonight, I want you to think about the phrase, the judgment of God. And how do you feel when you hear that phrase? Do you primarily think negative or positive when you hear the phrase, the judgment of God? For me, I think I have tended to have a negative view of God's judgment. God's mercy, that's a positive thing. And maybe I'm the only one that feels that way, but I've always thought of God's judgment as something to be afraid of, whereas God's mercy was something to look forward to. When I preached at Kansas, someone who had been a Christian for much longer than I had been, someone that I had always assumed had a close walk with God, they told me, I don't think you can ever know for sure if you have been good enough to be saved. And again, this person was a Christian who had followed Jesus most of their life and was in their twilight, and they were saying they were unsure when they got to judgment day whether or not they would be found right in God's sight. They were terrified and that they had not been good enough to be saved. So someone who was a Christian was afraid of God's judgment. So with that in mind, I want us to turn over to Psalms 54. And there the psalmist writes, David writes, O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. If you're looking at a King James version, it might say, judge me by your might. Now, even if you think of God's judgment as a positive thing, how many of us have ever prayed, judge me, Lord? Judge me by your might. How many of us have looked for and longed for God's judgment? Well, there's a specific and a very real and important reason why God's people have always prayed for God to judge them. Not just for God to judge their enemies, but judge me. And the way that the English translation puts it shows us why God's judgment of us is so important. Because the psalmist, David here, sees God's judgment as vindication. He sees God's judgment as vindication. And again, as we've been talking about these psalms, that they weren't just intended for David to sing, but they were intended for future generations of God's people to sing. They saw God's judgment as vindication. Let's read it. O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. When the bad guys are accusing you of being wrong, of doing wrong, when enemies are persecuting you, especially in that culture, in an honor-shame culture, if the enemies were winning, even your friends would look and say, he must be a pretty bad guy. If you remember when Paul was a prisoner and he was shipwrecked and landed on the island of Malta and he was bit by a snake, they built a fire and a snake came out and it bit Paul. Do you remember what the islanders said? They said he must have been a really bad guy. He survived the sea. He survived the shipwreck, but the gods would not allow him to live. And so they sent a snake to kill him. That's what they thought. So even when things were going badly in a person's life, their enemies and their friends would assume that they were being punished for unknown deeds. In fact, when you think of Paul's life, there were lots of times in his life when people assumed or they accused Paul of being or doing wrong. The entire book, the entire letter of 2 Corinthians is Paul defending his apostleship because people said he was a liar, that he's a cheat, that he's not telling the truth.
In the context of Paul defending his apostleship, we're familiar with this phrase or this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, where Paul says, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." And here's what I want us to understand. Paul longed for the judgment of Jesus. Paul wanted to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For Paul, it wasn't a scary thing to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He wanted it because he knew that Jesus would vindicate him. He knew that Jesus would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," even though in his lifetime, people accused him of being a liar, of being a false prophet, of being a troublemaker. They were constantly telling Paul he was teaching wrong. They were constantly telling others not to listen to him. And Paul longed for that vindication that Jesus would bring on the day of judgment, because Paul knew he was right. Paul knew he was sincere. It doesn't mean that Paul thought he was perfect, because that's not what judgment's going to be based on. It's not going to be based on if you were perfect. Good luck if that's what it's based on. Paul knew that he had sinned and he needed the grace and mercy of God, but he also knew that he was telling the truth. He also knew that he was truly and sincerely a follower of Jesus, that he was not a hypocrite, that he wasn't being an actor, that he wasn't a con man that he was being accused of. He longed for Jesus to judge him. He longed for Jesus to vindicate him. Maybe we've felt like that at times. Maybe you have felt like people have misunderstood your motives, or that people misunderstand you. People think that you are getting what you deserve, and you can't seem to clear your name. You can't seem to get people to understand that you're trying to tell the truth. In fact, I think sometimes we feel like that collectively. Sometimes Christians have been persecuted because people think we are doing wrong or causing trouble. But here's the problem that we tend to do. We tend to try to defend our own honor. We try to vindicate ourselves, right? Alexander Hamilton, probably everybody in this room over the last several years knows something about Alexander Hamilton. I hope this isn't the one thing you don't know. If you don't, he gets shot in a duel. Alexander Hamilton was killed in a duel. But that's something that has happened throughout history that grown men would do. Duel each other to the death. Why? Because they were defending their honor. They were vindicating themselves. Someone shamed them, and because they felt that, they had the need to vindicate themselves. It's no different today. We see this all the time on our computer screens. Somebody says something negative, I've got to respond to that. I've got to vindicate myself. I've got to show them they were wrong and I'm right. But listen again to the words of Psalm 54. "Save me by your name. Vindicate me by your might." That's a meekness. Meekness is a willingness to allow God to vindicate us, to allow Jesus to vindicate us. It's embracing the fact that I don't have to vindicate myself. I just have to do what is right. Paul knew, I just have to be a follower of Jesus. In fact, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "I don't care if you judge me, or if any human court judges me, because I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me." He says, "I don't even pronounce judgment on myself." He says, "It's the Lord who will judge me and the Lord who will vindicate me." We don't vindicate ourselves. We don't judge ourselves. We rely on the Lord to vindicate us. Imagine how peaceful we could be if we didn't try to vindicate ourselves. If we said, "Listen, I'm just going to do what is right. I'm just going to follow Jesus sincerely, wholeheartedly follow Jesus, and I know that on the day of judgment, he is going to vindicate me. Think what you will about me right now. Say what you will about me. Do what you will about me. That's why Christians could be persecuted, and they didn't take arms to defend themselves, to defend their honor, to vindicate themselves, to defend themselves to say, we are right and you are wrong. That's why they allowed themselves to be thrown to the lions and to be burned at the stake. Horrible things, because they knew that Jesus would vindicate them. And it all goes back to the idea of God's kingdom. Do we believe in that? Do we believe that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do we believe that he will be the judge of our universe? And if so, if we do believe that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him, then we don't have to worry about what any human court says, what any human says. Do we like what they have to say about us all the time? No. Do you really think that Paul liked being accused of being a con artist and a liar by his countrymen? I imagine he hated it. I imagine he even described it as a thorn in his flesh. But he knew when he stood before the judgment seat of Christ that Christ would vindicate him. That's what the psalmist knew, what David knew. God will vindicate me. That's the trust that as Christians we need to have, a longing for God to judge. Judge me, Lord, because you know I'm sincere. You know I am following. Of course we want to rely on the mercy of God, but God's judgment by its very nature is merciful. God's judgment by its very nature is gracious. God's judgment by its very nature is anchored in the covenant he's made with us, and the covenant that he has made with us is that if you are a faithful follower of Jesus, then you are forgiven. And so if you're a faithful follower of Jesus, then you don't have to worry about anything someone says about you. You don't have to worry about what someone accuses you of. You don't even have to judge yourself. Jesus is your judge. Jesus is your vindicator. Jesus is your Savior. Don't you see the mess we make when we always fight fire with fire? No, I've got to defend my honor. I've got to prove to this person that I'm right. But do we see the mess that we make? Do you see how that cycle just keeps going on and on? Whereas if we said maybe, hey, I love you and I'm going to keep loving you, I can't prove to you that I'm right, and you can't prove that you're right, I can't vindicate myself, but one day Jesus will. That's how Paul decided to live his life. Do and preach what is right, and let Jesus defend his honor. Let Jesus vindicate him. That's how we can be meek people. That's how we can live our lives as followers of Jesus, by trusting in the judgment of God. It's not your judgment that matters. And it's not their judgment that matters. It's not anyone's that matters except Jesus, because the kingdom of God belongs to him. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and he will vindicate his people. For a vast majority of Christian history, followers of Jesus have lived in shame. Their cultures have hated them and despised them. The Romans called them atheists because they didn't believe in the Roman gods. They shamed them and they persecuted them, but they could live at peace with their Roman neighbors who hated them without trying to defend their name and honor and vindicate themselves, because they knew that was the job of Jesus. Judge me, Lord. Vindicate me by your might. And he will. He will vindicate his people. We need to be focused on being faithful to Jesus, and he will vindicate his people. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision to become a faithful follower of Jesus, to be part of the new creation and spreading that new creation to a broken world. If you're not a Christian, we urge you to make that choice. If you are a Christian and need the prayers of your congregation, now would be an opportune time as together we